Turning again in God's word to Genesis 19, that portion we read earlier. And let's just take a moment, still in our hearts before the Lord, and ask for God's help now as we consider His truth this evening. Lord, we come before Thee as we turn to Your word once again, and we recognize we need Your help. We need, Lord, the power of Thy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. We thank You, Lord, for the Savior, for the one that we've been singing about. And we simply pray, Lord, Thou wouldst turn our eyes upon the Savior. Help us to look to Him. And in looking to Him, may the things of this world go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We pray for this in a spiritual sense. May our hearts, may our minds be brought to focus upon Him. And may everything else, O Lord, all of the lesser things of this world, may they all be out of focus because Christ is so in focus. Lord, give us help to preach Your word this evening. Come upon us by Thy Spirit. May Christ be exalted and glorified in all that is said and done. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Luke 17 and the verse 32, the Lord Jesus declared, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember Lot's wife. These solemn words were spoken by the Savior as He taught the people concerning the nature of His second coming. Christ had been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And then responding to this question, the Lord revealed to the Pharisees and also to His own disciples a number of very important things concerning the events that would mark His return to this world in power and glory. He taught them a number of things about His second coming. Christ taught these people His second coming would be preceded by great wickedness. And He said to them, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." And so the Savior draws to the attention of the people two particularly wicked or evil times in history. And then He says this, "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Before the Lord returns, great sinfulness shall pervade societies and nations. Just like in the days of Noah and Lot. As it was wicked and evil in those days. And people lived as if there was no God. And they just got on with the business of life. And no regard for God's ways or God's truth. They just ate and they drank, they married and they gave in marriage and they built and they planted. So it will be at the very end of time. This is what will mark or characterize the days prior to Christ's return. We therefore should not be surprised as we see our world waxing worse and worse. And surely we can identify even in the times in which we live with the days of Noah and the days of Lot. But the Lord Jesus not only told the people of this great sinfulness before His second coming, but He also spoke of the suddenness of His second coming. He declared to them, "For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day." And there is a thought here of shock and of surprise. When Christ returns, it will be suddenly. Just as the lightning appears in one part of heaven and suddenly just shoots across to the other side of heaven. The Lord is saying, this is exactly how I will come. It will be a sudden thing. So quick, so instantaneous. 1 Corinthians 15:52 puts it this way. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. And Christ in some of the last words in Scripture says, "Behold, I come quickly." And of course, there's a warning in this. And the Savior really is warning men and women. I'm coming quickly. I will come suddenly. Therefore, be prepared. Because when I do come, there will be no time to prepare. No opportunity. And so the Lord Jesus spoke to these people of the sinfulness before His return and of the suddenness of His return. But then He also told them of the separation after His return. As He continued to teach them on this subject, He said, "I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed." And there is a thought there of being on a chair or round a table. Two men in one bed is the thought of being round a table. "The one shall be taken and the other shall be left." Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And this is all speaking of a great separation that will take place at the very end of time. When the Savior returns in power and glory, there will be a separation in this world. Peoples of this world will be separated. The sheep from the goats will be divided. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 describes it like this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. And again, this is speaking about separation when Christ returns. His people will be drawn out of this world and drawn to be with him forever. Drawn away from the wicked and the ungodly. What a day that will be for every believer. Separated from this wicked and polluted world. Separated from every influence of sin and evil. What a glorious day this will be. This is the day that we should be looking forward to, living in expectation of. The day of separation from our sin completely and this world entirely. And yet we can also say what a day that will be also for every unbeliever. Because on that day, they will be separated eternally from God and all of his mercy. And all of his love and all of his grace. And that's what will happen on that day. Oh, what a separation will take place. His people will be separated from a world of sin to live in glory. And the ungodly, those that have rejected Christ, shall be separated from this world to eternal ruin and damnation. And so as the Savior taught these people, he spoke about the sinfulness before his return. He spoke about the suddenness of his return. And then he also spoke about the separation. However, as the Savior was in the midst of teaching these wonderful truths concerning his second coming, he uttered these most solemn words. Remember Lot's wife. The reason why Christ that day drew the attention of his hearers to Lot's wife was to warn them concerning the great danger of losing their soul. This is what happened to Lot's wife. She lost her soul. Indeed, she is infamous for this. And so she stands in God's word as a solemn, monumental warning to all not to go in the same destructive and damnable path. And this is why Christ said, in the light of his second coming, in the light of what is going to happen at the very end of time, remember Lot's wife. Remember her. So we will not go in the same way she did. And so we will not, like her, lose our soul. This evening then, I want us to consider Lot's wife. And I want us to examine here in God's word why this woman lost her soul. Why did Lot's wife lose her soul? Why is this woman tonight in hell and for all eternity under the judgment of God? Well, in the first place, we can say Lot's wife lost her soul because she was disobedient to the word of God. Because she was disobedient to the word of God. And reading this passage in Genesis 19, we see that God's word, God's message to Lot and to his family was unmistakably clear and plain. We have it here in verse 17. Notice again what it says. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth, that is the angels had brought them forth out of Sodom, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. There's absolutely no ambiguity in the message of God to Lot and to his family. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. And so very simply, they were told to run away from Sodom and not to look back. Nevertheless, despite the fact that this message was both simple and clear and plain, told in verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Therefore, we can say most emphatically, Lot's wife perished in her sin. Lot's wife lost her soul because she was disobedient to the word of God. She wouldn't hear God's word. She wouldn't listen to the thing that God had told her. And this is why she perished. Had she obeyed the Lord, had she with Lot not looked back, then she would not have been turned into a pillar of salt. She would not have perished. She would not have lost her soul in this manner if she had obeyed the Lord. However, this was not the case, for she defied and was disobedient to God's command. And in her disobedience, she perished in her sin. So it is for all who live in defiance of and are disobedient to God's word. They're living as rebels to God, and in their disobedience they will perish. In their disobedience they will lose their soul. Of course, we need to remind ourselves what God's command to sinners is. And this is also very important. We have seen here, we have noted what God's command was to Lot and to his family. It was to run, it was to escape and not to look back. But what's God's command to sinners today? Or let's make it more personal. What's God's command to you and to me? What is God saying to us? Well, in Mark 1, in the verse 40, in verses 14 and 15, we have the command of Christ to sinful men. This is what it says. Jesus came unto Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, repent ye and believe the gospel. Now here we have God's word to sinful men and women. And what does God command us? To repent and believe the gospel. That is, repent from your sin and believe in the one who is set forth in the gospel as the only savior of sinners. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's command. And this is God's command to all men. It is God's command to all men in Garva. And it's God's command to each one tonight in this meeting. God commands you to repent of your sin and to believe in Christ, to believe in His Son as the only Savior and remedy for your sin, sick soul. It is Christ alone you must believe in. And this is a command. You see, what we need to understand, what men need to grasp about the gospel of Christ is this. God does not merely invite sinners to seek Him for salvation. And so often the gospel is set forth in this way. God invites you to come, and of course it's the invitation of the gospel. But the call of the gospel is much stronger than merely an invitation that we can take or leave. Now, the call of the gospel includes a command. God commands men everywhere to repent. And He commands men everywhere to believe in His Son. Even as a king would lawfully command his subjects, so Christ comes to men in the rebellion of their sin and He says, you repent and you believe in my Son, the one I provided for your salvation. Therefore, to refuse to repent from your sin and to refuse to believe in Christ is to disobey God's word. It is to defy His voice that calls unto you in the gospel. And all who do so will perish, even as Lot's wife perished. Those who disobey the command of the gospel will perish. The command of God's word. And I want you to understand this tonight. This is so essential that you grasp this. God is speaking to you. God has a direct message for your soul. Indeed, as we look at this passage and as we think of this subject, we can say tonight, the God of heaven has a specific, God of heaven has a direct message for you, a specific message for you. Right to you. And I want you to understand this, and it is to repent and to believe. But as we read here what this woman did, as we think of her disobedience to God's word. This disobedience to this word that the Lord brought to her through the mouth of angels. We might well ask the question, why did she disobey? Why did she disobey? Why did she disregard God's message to her? Why did she? All she had to do was run and not look back. Now, of course, that was a very simple thing. A child could have obeyed this command. Run, escape, and don't look back. The very smallest child could have obeyed this command. Why then did she disobey such a simple and clear message from God? Why did she? Well, I believe we can point to two reasons why this woman blatantly disobeyed God's word. In the first place, Lot's wife did not give heed to God's message because of her faithlessness. Because of her faithlessness. She simply did not believe God's word. She didn't believe it. Even though it was brought to her by angels, and even though they urged upon her the seriousness of the situation, that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be completely destroyed, and the angels told Lot's family this, yet she did not believe. She did not believe. And therefore, she disobeyed God's command to her through unbelief. And that's why she is a lost soul. Because through unbelief, she disobeyed God's command to her. And this is why multitudes disobey the command of God in the gospel. Because they don't believe. They simply don't believe. The vast majority of people don't believe what God's word says about them. They don't believe what the scriptures say about them in their sin. And how their sin has so corrupted them and defiled them in God's sight. Why, if men could but grasp this, if men believed this, then they would seek Christ earnestly for salvation. But men don't believe they're wicked. Men don't believe they're sinful. They believe they're good. And therefore, they don't repent. And they don't seek Christ for salvation. Maybe that's you tonight. You've never sought salvation because you believe you're good. And yes, you know that you've got faults and you've made mistakes. But maybe you've convinced yourself, well, you're not as bad as someone else. And you don't believe what the Bible says. That from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head, you're full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You're unclean, in other words, in God's sight. Many don't believe what the Bible says about them. Many don't believe what God's word says about salvation, of course, itself. And about Christ. And about how only through Him we can be accepted by God. And this is why many are seeking to earn a place in heaven through religion or through good works or through some other means, because they simply don't believe what God says about Himself and about Christ and about salvation. They don't believe it. And so they try to climb into heaven another way. Many don't believe what God's word says about the day of judgment and about heaven and about hell. And so they carry on through life carelessly, flippantly, going on from day to day, having a great time. Because they don't believe that each day that they live is a day closer to outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. They don't believe it. And so this is why they disobey God's command in the gospel to repent and to believe in Christ. Is this the situation with you? Are you like Lot in this sense? You're not saved. You've never come to Christ because you don't believe. In these days we often hear statistics why people are dying. Of course we hear this in our news all the time. But do you know what is that which damns souls in hell, or that which causes souls to be damned in hell the most? It is the disease of unbelief. The disease of unbelief. There is a cure for sinners. A foolproof cure. You hear about vaccines. Vaccines that are 90%, 95%, 80%, whatever it is. People are so excited about these things. But there's a cure which is 100%. Able to deliver sinners from the disease and condemnation of sin. And yet people won't come because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. And so we see here, this was why Lot's wife would not give heed to God's message, because of her faithlessness. But also she would not give heed to God's message because of her foolishness. Her foolishness. In the actions of this woman, we are reminded of the foolishness and darkness that is found in the heart of the sinner. We are reminded of that. Only a fool disregards a warning about danger. Only a fool does. Warning that has been given, made clear. It's a fool that goes on and then suffers terrible consequences. And so his Lot's wife disregarded God's warning. Not to look back. The foolishness and rebellion that was found in her heart was clearly revealed. What a foolish thing. An utterly foolish thing. The greatest act of foolishness and folly is to live in defiance and disobedience of God's word. That is the act of the real fool. That is the greatest fool. God has given his word to direct us how we can be saved from the wrath to come. Of course, this is the great message of the Bible, salvation. The message of the Bible is a message of love. God sets forth Christ. He speaks of how Christ came into this world, how he lived for sinners, how he went to the cross to pay the sinner's debt, how he died in their stead. And the Bible tells us that if we come to Christ, we will have life if we believe in him. Our sins can all be forgiven. And we can earn a place, or not earn, but we can have a place in heaven. And the Bible sets this before us. It's a loving message. And it also warns us now, if you reject Christ, if you go on in your sin, if you ignore this wonderful provision that God has made for sinners, you'll perish. That's the warning, to perish. But it is the fool that does reject it, you see. It's the fool that rejects it and goes on in their sin. Therefore, all who ignore and despise this message are fools. And in their folly, they, like Lot's wife, will lose their soul. They too, like her, will suffer eternal ruin. And so we see here Lot's wife lost her soul because she was disobedient to the word of God. But then in the second place, notice with me here, Lot's wife lost her soul because she despised the work of God. She despised the work of God. It's a very important note in this passage how God worked to provide salvation for Lot's wife. See what it says again in verses 12 and 13. And the man said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. See also what it says in verses 15 and 16. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now do you notice who it is that is acting in these words? And that's what I want to draw your attention to. Who it is that is actually working? Who it is that is acting in these words? It's not Lot or any member of his family. That's not who is actually working and acting in these verses. It's not Lot or any member of his family. Instead, it is the angels that were sent by the Lord. These angels first told Lot to get his family together and get out because judgment was coming. And that's what we read in verses 12 and 13. How the angels told Lot, listen, judgment's coming, get out now. Then when Lot and his family endeavored and delayed, the angels of the Lord physically laid hold upon them. And they took them out of the city and they set them on the road to safety. And this is what we read in verses 15 and 16. How the angels laid hold upon them. Took them right out of the city. Set them on the road to safety. On the road in which they wouldn't perish. And so what we see here is salvation for this family is that which, or was not that which they sought after, but it was that which God provided. And I want us to notice this in this passage. Lot didn't seek salvation, nor any member of this family, but it was God who acted. And God sent his angels in to warn them and then to bring them out. This was God who was working. This was God who was acting. Put it this way. If the Lord had not sent his angels to Sodom, then Lot and his entire family would have perished. That's simply what would have happened. If the Lord had not acted, if the Lord had not sent his angels in there to rescue Lot and his family, then each one of them would have perished. This didn't happen because God intervened. God acted. God was at work here, providing salvation from judgment. Of course, the very same thing can be said of man's salvation from sin. It is entirely the work of God. Entirely the work of God. If God had not sent his Son into this world to seek and to save that which is lost, then not one lost sinner would ever have been saved. If salvation wasn't of God tonight, then not one sinner, not one of Adam's ruined race would ever have sought God. Not one. Salvation is entirely of the Lord. God the Father has chosen a people. Christ has earned salvation for those people in his life and in his death. And God the Holy Spirit calls that people unto God. And so from start to finish, salvation is entirely the work of God. The Apostle John put it this way in 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. And there is a thought of God placing his love upon man. God, out of his own graciousness and mercy, setting his love upon sinful, wretched, undeserving men, he sets his love upon them. And he saves them and he puts into them his Spirit. And he turns them round from being haters of him to be lovers of him. That's what John is saying. We love him because he first loved us. And Christ said to his disciples in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Salvation is of the Lord. And this is so powerfully illustrated in this passage where God sends in his angels into Sodom to rescue and to save Lot from the coming judgment. God was at work here. Powerfully at work. However, what we see here with Lot's wife is she despised God's saving work. She despised this provision that the Lord had made for her. Lot and his two daughters, they entered into this great provision that God had made. And they fled from the coming judgment. And they didn't look back. And so there's this sense of Lot and his two daughters entering into this provision. They respond to God's saving work. And they obey the voice of God. And they're saved. But not Lot's wife. As the way of salvation was set before her. And it really was. Think of the angels bringing her out of Sodom, setting her on the road and saying, this is the way you need to go. And go this way, run, don't look back. The way of salvation was set before her, clearly set before her. But she despises it. And she looks back. And she loses her soul. This is one sure and certain way to lose your soul. To despise God's saving work. Despise his work of salvation. All who behave in this way will be, without any shadow of doubt, eternally lost. You see, when men and women despise the provision of God's salvation, when they despise God's saving work, what they do is they turn their backs upon God's great mercy towards them. That's what they do. They turn their backs upon God's mercy. Remember, this is what God's salvation is. It is the greatest act of love, grace, and mercy. That's what salvation is. God being merciful. God being gracious to man. Therefore, when a sinner despises God's saving work, they're turning away from God's mercy. And you see, when you turn away from God's mercy, you're turning to God's wrath, God's eternal judgment. This is brought to our attention in this very passage. See again the words of verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. Notice these words. The Lord been merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. The Lord been merciful unto him. And this obviously included Lot's wife. The Lord was merciful to this home, to this family. How gracious and loving the Lord had been to this entire family, we can say. Think of all the people which lived in Sodom. Many homes, numerous families, a great city. Yet out of all of these people, it was Lot, his wife, and his two daughters that God extended mercy to. It was this home that was privileged, uniquely privileged, above all other homes, for the way of salvation was clearly revealed to them. Clearly revealed to them. Nevertheless, despite the Lord being merciful unto Lot's wife, she looked back, she despised the merciful provision and benefits God had bestowed upon her. And she lost her soul. Now, as we think of Lot's wife and how she behaved here, she really is a warning to all who have enjoyed in their lives the great benefits and mercies of gospel privileges. God's angels and mercy laid hold upon this woman. They actually physically laid hold upon her and pointed her to the place of refuge. That's what they did. But how often has God in mercy laid hold upon certain people in the gospel and pointed them to Christ, the only place of refuge and safety? There are men and there are women who've enjoyed the mercy of gospel privileges virtually their whole life. Might be brought up in a Christian home, set under faithful preaching, witnessed the power of the gospel in the lives of others. And we can say of those individuals how merciful God has been to them. While many others perish in the ignorance of their sin, they have been blessed, even as Lot's wife was blessed, to know without any shadow of doubt the way of salvation. To know it and to be clear about it. And yet they still turn their back on the mercy of God. Turn their back upon Christ and upon His saving work. What a dangerous place to live. What a terrible place to die. To despise God's saving provision. A saving work. Proverbs 29 in the verse 1 says, "He that hath been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And this and that without remedy." This is what happened to Lot's wife. This is exactly what happened to this lady. She knew the truth. The angels reproved her. The angels told her about the destruction. They physically set her in the way to safety. But she hardened her neck. And she perished in her sin. Let me ask you this. Is this the path that you are on? Having known the gospel, having heard about Jesus Christ, having heard many times that you're a sinner in need of salvation, and yet as you sit in God's house tonight, you're still despising Christ and His work. Well, you need to be mindful. For all who despise God's saving work will, like Lot's wife, lose their soul. But on the path where you too will lose your soul. Lot's wife lost her soul because she disobeyed the word of God. She lost her soul because she despised the work of God. In the last place, notice with me here, Lot's wife lost her soul because she desired the world more than God. She desired the world more than God. This is very much what is in view in the words of verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife looking back reveals to us that she was really desiring the world. This is what she loved and desired more than anything else. She had now lived for a number of years in Sodom. We don't know how many years, but it was a number of years. And this city was filled not only with great wickedness, it was also filled with great wealth. It was a prosperous place, a lavish place. There, Lot's family would have enjoyed many luxuries and many comforts in that great city, that place that was known as a wealthy, prosperous place. These things, these worldly things then, had become the great and important things in the life of Lot's wife. These were the things that were precious to her, earthly things. Therefore, as she is taken out of Sodom, And as she walks further and further away from this city and all its attractions, she ponders in her heart. She thinks about all that she's leaving behind. The comforts, the luxuries, the pleasures of life. And as she thinks on these things, she with a longing heart and longing eyes looks back. That's the thought here. You see, this looking back was not a mere glance to see God's judgment upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is why she wasn't looking back. Or this is not why she was looking back. No, this looking back was the decision of her heart. The decision of her heart. She wanted the world and all that it had. And she wanted this more than God's salvation. God's salvation was set before her. It was clearly set before her. But as she looks back to Sodom, she looks back to the world, she thinks, no, I don't want this salvation. I want the world and all that has got to offer me. This is what happens as Lot's wife looks back. And this is why she lost her soul. Because she desired the world more than God. She was more concerned with earthly things than eternal things. Again, this is another reason why many perish in their sin. And why they lose their soul. Because they're so focused upon the comforts of this life. They have no time to tend to the greatest need of all. The need of their soul. Taken up with worldly possessions. Worldly things. And yet they care not for the soul that they have that will live forever. Either in God's heaven or God's hell. The Lord Jesus asked the pertinent question in Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or this question could have been asked to Lot's wife. You want Sodom. You want all that it has to offer. But what will it profit you if you lose your soul? So it is tonight for you who are out of Christ. Oh, you want all this world has to offer, but one day, very soon, you will leave this world. And if you're out of Christ, you'll lose your soul. And all that is precious to you in this world will be meaningless and worthless. In that place of utter darkness. Christ's exhortation then is, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her, for she is a great warning to us all. But the greatest danger of all. The danger of losing our soul. As we remember this woman, may we not go in the ruinous way she went. But maybe comply with Christ's word. Comply with it, obey it. That command in the gospel to repent and believe. May we obey it. May we cherish Christ's work. Christ's work on the cross. That work that he undertook to provide a full salvation for sinners. May we think it as a valuable thing. The most valuable thing. And may we claim Christ above the world. Claim him by faith as our Savior. And our provision. This is the way of salvation. This is the wonderful way of salvation. I trust all will go this way. And that none in this meeting will, like Lot's wife, lose their soul. May God be pleased to bless his truth to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.